Blog Talk Radio.
The Yakuza Radio. Love the name.
To the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
Thursday, November 4th, 2010, welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. I'm your host, as always, J. Cap Morris, and with me is my co-host, as always, Eric Williams. What's going on, Eric?
Not much, J. Cap, just another fun, exciting show that we have, lined up for the, the listeners of Yakuza Kick Radio, and I'm excited to, start another show off.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. We definitely have some good stuff ahead. We're going to get to all of that in just a second. But as I would first like to announce, obviously, that we do have an interview we did with Sammy Callahan, and we recorded his interview earlier in this week. And
okay.
as overjoyed and proud of him, as that interview as I am, a little tied up. I also would like to now give my deepest condolences to Sammy and everybody in his family, and everybody around him right now, and because Sammy later in the week lost his mother, and that's something that I can't even believe, how someone could handle that. I mean, I haven't been through that myself, so, my deepest condolences to Sammy and everybody that's a Sammy Callahan fan or supports him or any of the companies he works for, send him a shout out, send him some love, condolences, give him your prayers, because I'm sure he could use it at this time, so, for sure.
Yeah, we here at Yakuza Kick Radio, we send our condolences as well to the family of Sammy Callahan, what I'm saying?
Yeah, but moving on from that, they are running a show, a couple shows actually, this coming week in Germany. They're heading it out, I believe, today. So,
yes.
They have quite a squad going over there, and they got some big matches lined up. And, I'm sure everybody over here in the U.S. is going to enjoy seeing those DVDs when they come out because, they're putting on quite some shit over there. I'm looking forward to them getting back, however, because that'll be the show I go to. That's Night of Infamy. That is November 13th. They'll have the semifinals of the tag tournament, so they'll have the Assyrian Portal versus the Runaways in one bracket, and then they'll have Philly's Most Wanted and Irish Drive-By in the other bracket. And those two guys, whoever the two teams are, they'll meet at Cage of Death. So that'll be really good. Backlash coming off of the last show. They're going to have a six-man Fans Bring the Weapons match. Cult Fiction, A Brain Damage, Masada, and 13 versus the Suicide Kings of Danny Havoc, Devin Moore, Scotty Vortex. We all know that Drake was a big, big thing that happened this past month, and who knows how he's going to be involved in that match or that night altogether, because I'm sure he'll
keep
be
him
involved.
Away. They better keep him away from the ring. He's too much trouble now.
Well,
way too much trouble.
He's going to be a factor, I'm sure. But Fans Bring
the
Weapons match.
Hopefully, as long as he's aligned with Cult Fiction, I'm happy. If he's not aligned with Cult Fiction, we got a problem.
Yeah, well, He's definitely going to cause some trouble, but either way, those six men in the ring, Masada and Brain Damage are two heavy, heavy hitting dudes. 13 just off of his win against Danny Havoc, in a light tube match, in Massachusetts. You know, he's definitely a factor as well. Of course, Billy Graham by their side. I mean, that's one of the
man. The man, yeah. Billy Graham.
Yep, that's definitely a factor as well. And then, you know, the Suicide Kings, Danny Havoc, Devin Moore, Scotty Vortex, those are three badass dudes. And these fans bring some crazy shit. I'll try to muster up something myself and bring it. I don't know what, but, yeah, they're bound to put it on for us, and I'm looking forward to that.
Did I hear a PS3? You going to use your PS3?
Shit. I got to be honest with you. I got one that's fucking out of warranty that's been sitting in a box for fucking 2 years, so that's not beyond the possibility because the shit is broken. But I got the other one I've been using since, but who knows, man? Who knows? Yeah, they're gonna do it big like they always do. I'm sure they'll be announcing a lot more matches as soon as they come back from Germany. And, you know, coming off of that, I know there's a couple big shows coming up in November, November 20th, to be exact. Did you check on the that other show?
The RCW, man?
Right.
I never got that press release. It was the same one I was looking at like a couple weeks ago.
Okay,
there was no update on that.
Yeah, Eric does believe that there is a show. RCW is running a show out in Maryland, I believe.
Yeah.
On November 20th. I know for sure that 1CW is running a show out in Delaware or Maryland, one of the two. It's right on that border, I believe Delaware. For sure, Jersey All Pro is running a show down in Rahway. So definitely check that out there. I know a little bit of their card. They're going to be having Dan Moff versus Teddy Hart, world title. They're also having the tag team champions, the new tag team champions of Sammy Callahan and Chris Dickinson defend their titles for the first time against the Southside Players Club. So.
And have you ever seen the Southside Players Club, Jay?
Yes, I have, and I think
what
they're going to have a hard night.
What do you think of the entrance?
It's quite a scene, man. It's quite a scene.
I love the entrance. As a
guy,
you got to love that entrance. No, there's no lying. There's no lying. I saw them first time back a while ago. Back when when they had that crazy three tag team war, and they had the Briscoes versus Teddy Hart and Jack Evans. I saw the Syrian Pearl the Southside Players Club, and what an interesting scene.
Yeah, I believe I was at that show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think that was another Rahway one, but yeah, I think it's going to be they could come out and they could have a good time with themselves, but that is going to be a rough night for the Southside Players Club when they get hit with the United States Death Machine of Chris Dickinson and Sammy Callahan.
I don't know about Joe Hardway and I believe Mo Sexton. I don't know how they're going to be able to handle that, but
definitely going to have their hands full. So and the motivation behind that as well is knowing that when or if. The United States Death Machine gets through that. The night before they're in Philadelphia, they're going to be in Rahway. That is December 10th. And that night will be the Hit Squad reforming in order to face the United States Death Machine. So, they're going to be driven to go pretty hard against the Southside Players Club, and I don't think it's going to be an easy night for them. So,
no, it's definitely not. Who the hell knows? I think that's the night of is that in Rahway or is that in Philly?
That's in Rahway.
Okay. I was going to say the night after they're in Philadelphia for that crazy doubleheader.
Right.
That's going to be awesome.
I know,
the
cage of death, yeah. Yep.
Who the hell knows if Callahan and Dickinson can hold on to those belts? They've got two matches. They probably wrestle somebody big in Philly, you know what I'm saying? They got to be wrestling somebody big.
Well, they got two big guys the night before, so
They shouldn't be looking past the Southside Players Club at all.
Right. Well, you know. Beyond that, you cannot be looking towards the December 11th show when you know on the 10th you got the hit squad. I mean, there's just no maybes about it. That's going to be a hard, hard hill to climb. So those guys are badass, so it should be a great contest.
Yep.
That's a while off. We'll be throwing that as it comes up. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to throw out there? You got anybody sending questions in?
Well,
or?
I want to get into something real quick. And I've seen that you've been posted on Facebook this about 10, 15 minutes ago. And it's something I have to call a little rant. Maybe you can add to it. What the hell's up with all this gay shit on Facebook?
Well, Johnny Cashmere's a nice guy. I know what you're talking about.
What's up with this gay bullshit?
It ain't about, you know, any dislike of, you know, gay people in general. It's just the fact that I don't know, some people out there decide to take upon himself to post, you know, like gay porn pictures on wrestlers' websites, and you know, and then they tag him in it or whatever. And it gets sent to everybody that everybody's friends with. And it's just retarded, man. I can't support that shit. I don't know, you know, what's their motivation. I don't, you know what they're trying to accomplish. But it's just disrespectful, man. I just wish that shit would stop happening. I ain't trying to see that shit, and nobody else is, especially when you're representing somebody else in that type of shit. So.
Yeah, and Facebook got to do something about it. Facebook got to do something about this because this has been happening a lot. And, you know, it's a small portion, but, you know, I mean, kids could be looking at this shit. You know what I'm saying? You don't want kids looking at that.
Well, it won't be my kids because I know what's
going on. I know, but some, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, keep that shit fucking clean. Facebook should be, you know, perfectly clean for that bullshit. I mean, cursing's okay, but that, you know, that's your own business, but... That fucking gay bullshit, that shit should be fucking stopped.
It's really not right. So, moving on off of that, what else?
Chicago's running Kingston versus Homicide on, I believe, the 21st in Philly. Kingston versus Homicide, and, you know, that's going to be kind of interesting to see.
Yeah, that definitely will be interesting. That's going to be a banging match. There's no maybe about it. I mean, that's going to be unbelievable. So, I saw a video. Let me promote this as well, because, man, speaking of Homicide, there was a video that was posted that it seems like on November 6th, Homicide will be challenging Mercedes Martinez in the WSU.
I did see that.
I think that's pretty interesting. Let me tell you what. Mercedes Martinez is a bad chick, man. She is no joke. She's one of the toughest chicks in all of wrestling right now, and she has been for a minute. So, you know, anybody else that's one of them tough chicks in wrestling could definitely go head-to-head with her and understand that she's at least on the same level, if not better. And, you know, I think that can actually surprise the shit out of a lot of people. I pay attention to that match because I think that's going to come out a lot. Yeah.
That's
I think that's going to come out a lot different than a lot of people think. And, yeah, obviously, you know, everybody knows what we feel about Homicide and, you know, the overall, you know, indie praise that's well warranted, you know, for Homicide. But Mercedes Martinez, man, I think this is going to be pretty interesting. It'd be pretty cool, man.
I want to see Homicide and Awesome Kong. That's what I really want to see.
Yeah.
I don't know if Homicide could do the cop killer to her, but, you know, he could try.
Well, you know... There's always the cutter, the clothesline.
Yeah.
You know, you could go a lot around.
If he couldn't pick up Gacy, sure as hell not picking up fucking Karn. Of course, I'm kidding about that. That's not a joke or anything. I'm just telling you. So Gacy's a fat piece of shit. Anyway.
So, what else you want to talk about? You want to go into the football, or you know what you?
Yeah. We'll go into the football, and you know.
Yeah.
We'll go into more of an in depth this week. Usually we go quick, but that's because we have an interview, you know, lined up.
Yeah.
That's pretty damn long, but you know, we got some time.
Yeah, check it. Last week, me and Eric tied up 8-8. You know, on that side note, that you know, of course, I got to get on, you know, on and off the table right off the bat is my Niners. And that's, they pulled off a victory in England. So I don't know. I'm going to put in for a petition for us to get a new stadium in England, because in San Francisco, that shit don't work out for us. We won one game, and them motherfuckers ain't win a game yet. So,
Well, maybe that will work. Maybe you can, you know, do the J. Cap Morris pool, and you know, petition, and maybe the owners of San Francisco will go, yeah, we'll listen to J. Cap Morris. We want J. Cap Morris to be the new owner, and then
I really don't want them to move out of San Francisco. I like them in San Francisco right now. I'm just saying that overall, like, you know, it's kind of fucked up that, you know, we go over to England, we give their fucking fans a win. It's hard as hell for you to do that shit for me over here. So we beat the Panthers in the U.S. and we go over there and beat Denver. That's okay. So, but yeah.
You know what? Another team that surprised a lot of people this week, Oakland. You know,
Surprising for 2 weeks. Oakland's been surprising for 2 weeks for sure. But like I was saying about
my... That's definitely not Oakland. I'm sorry to cut you off there, but that's definitely not Oakland. I think, you know, NFL needs to do some investigation into the league. You know, maybe that's a different team. Maybe that's a, you know, I don't know if that's the Raiders. I've never seen that team like that before. So maybe that's not the Raiders, and that's a totally different team. We'll have, you know, we'll get into that in a couple weeks, maybe. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Conspiracy theories is some crazy shit, but
yeah.
Let me tell you, you know, for the most part, I know over there, Troy Smith definitely represented, and I hope that he can continue, and I hope this will be his big break. You know, he was a Heisman Trophy winner. Guy definitely has a shitload of talent, but hasn't really shined in the NFL yet. One of his legit best friends is, you know, from a kid, is Ted Ginn Jr., who's, you know, one of our wide receivers. So there's some chemistry there for sure, and yeah, I'm just hoping this shit clicks up, man. We get a decent team behind us, like something to fucking look at week in and week out. So, and we got a lot of weapons, and we just ain't using them. Quarterbacks seem to be a sore spot. Hopefully, this guy will come through. All right. Blabbing about my fucking team. Let's go into the first pick of the week. Tampa Bay at Atlanta. Got Atlanta favored by 8.5 points. I'll let you start.
Atlanta 8.5. Well, you know, we got some time to talk. You know, Atlanta and Tampa Bay. I mean, it's at Atlanta. You know, so you give, you know, the favor to Atlanta. But Atlanta comes in this game with 5-2. You know, 3-0 in the division, and Tampa Bay comes in at 5-2 as well. You know, 3-0 in the division. So I'm gonna have to go with the home team here. And I'm going to have to pick Atlanta.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with Tampa Bay because I think 8.5 is just a little bit too much for a favor on there. Atlanta didn't, you know, they pulled out a lot of games, and they look good in that. And they just weren't that dominant. Not to say that they won't beat Tampa Bay, but to me 8.5 is a little much. So I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
Okay.
Not that Tampa Bay was, you know, defeating people with brutality, but again, gotta lean with Tampa Bay on that one. Next game going, you got Miami. I think this is gonna be a banging game. Got the Miami Dolphins at the Baltimore Ravens. The Ravens are favored by 5.5, which is pretty much that home given and everything else. But I'm going to go with Baltimore. I think they're on a little bit of an upswing, and I'm hoping that, you know, they could keep that moving at home. Miami is kind of on and off this season. Going with the Baltimore crowd and all of that stuff, I think I'm going to go with Baltimore.
What's the point spread on that, Jay?
Baltimore favored by 5.5.
And I'm going to have to go with Miami.
Okay. Next game up, we got the Chicago Bears versus the Buffalo Bills. With the Chicago Bears favored by 2.5. I believe this game is being played in Canada. So just So there really is no home field advantage.
It's in, I don't know where the hell it's at.
I believe
it's
Canada.
It's considered a home game for Buffalo. But you know what? I'm going to pick Buffalo.
Yeah.
They're 0-7. They haven't gotten a victory yet. I think maybe, you know, same deal with the Niners. Can get the job done in, you know, their own state.
Yeah,
their own
country.
And of course they'll win in freaking there. Yeah, that'll probably be the only victory of the season with Buffalo. You know what I mean?
Okay, well, I'll go with Chicago because I don't, you know. I see what you're saying is, you know, it's that off shot, that trap game, but I think Chicago will keep that, so I'll go with them.
Boo you.
Next game is my unbettable fucking team of the New Orleans Saints versus the Carolina Panthers. New Orleans favored by 7.5. And before I say who I'm obviously picking, let me just say that these motherfuckers screwed me again last week because I picked them just about every week to cover, just about every week this season, and the motherfuckers never covered. Any win they got, they didn't cover no fucking spreads, I know that much. And then the week I decided, fuck New Orleans and fuck Cincinnati, and the only one that didn't disappoint me in the pool but continued to disappoint me on the field was Cincinnati. And New Orleans decided, yeah, we'll cover. So they covered last week. But I'm not turning back to the dark side just yet, man, because they beat me out of a lot more wins than that. So, I got to go with Carolina.
You're going to go with Carolina, and I'm going to go with New Orleans again.
All right. The next game is the New England Patriots versus the Cleveland Browns, with the New England Patriots favored by 4.5 points.
And I'm going to have to go with New England.
Okay, I'm going to go with New England as well. Cleveland has been surprising these days, so you can't really sleep on that, but I don't know. I don't know if they're quite there yet. It's a hard game to call because Cleveland looks like it's on an upswing this season, and they're really trying to make some surprising wins, and they have pulled off some surprising stuff. However, I believe they beat New Orleans. Yeah, they beat New Orleans. And, you know, as impressive as that is, and as kind of lackluster the New England Patriots have been, I really don't even know which way to go with that, but I think it'll be an interesting game. Just siding with New England on it, but it really could be one to watch, man.
It's going to be a good game to watch, you know what I'm saying? If it's on TV, hopefully it's on TV.
Yeah, who knows? With me, I pretty much got the Jersey the Jersey teams because they live in my fucking state, even though they call themselves something else. But the Jersey
teams,
here we go, this Seattle support,
oh,
but, you know, either way.
Phone almost fell out of my hand. Definitely not good.
You know, and I guess Philly, and that's pretty much it. And if they're off, then maybe I'll get somebody else.
You definitely need to watch the Eagles play.
Yeah, well, it seems to be working out for Philly fans. So, anyway, next game is the New York Jets at the Detroit Lions, with the Jets favored by 3.5.
And it's your pick.
Oh, it's my pick.
Yep.
I'm going to go with the Jets.
And I'm going to go with the Jets as well.
All right. Next game being the San Diego Chargers versus the Houston Texans, with the San Diego Chargers favored by 1.5.
And I'm going to go with the Houston Texans.
I'm going to go with the Texans as well. Tough on the call. I think Houston at home, they're going to get it done. San Diego's been really, really shaky. Next game we got the Arizona Cardinals versus the Randy Mossless Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota is still favored by 8.5 points.
I don't know how that's possible.
Huh?
I don't know how that's possible. That team is going downhill.
Right.
Worse than I'll tell you
a few things about this game. First off, I don't think Randy Moss will be or was a factor at all. I'm really doubting Randy Moss's talents at this point. Not that he's not talented, not that he's not one of the best receivers.
He plays when he wants to play. That's what it is.
Yeah. He didn't make an amazing impact on the Vikings. I don't think he made any amazing impact on the Patriots either, to be honest with you. Like, they were such a complete team, and when you had whether it be Castle, when Castle was zipping passes all over the field, or when Tom Brady was doing his thing a few years ago, this wasn't like a Randy Moss-fueled offense.
Right.
There was a lot of other guys. Yeah, Welker was catching more passes than anybody else on that field.
Watson, the tight end.
Yeah. But if he was the super star, where the fuck was he? You know what I mean? So his stock dropped a lot. And then as soon as he went over to Minnesota and people ran and raving, and I said, that's cool that he's going back to Minnesota. Maybe he's just got his shit right. And he said, yeah, I probably should have stayed where I was to begin with. And he went back there. Like, maybe all of this come back to play. And I heard a lot of people saying, oh, well, he wasn't playing up to par because he was upset. He wasn't happy with the team he was with. So he was kind of like in protest. I can understand that if that's the truth. But now to get just released by a team like that, to get waived from a fucking team like that, apparently ain't shit changed. And I know throughout the season, it's not like he was, since he's been signed, he hasn't been making blockbuster plays.
Right.
So now he's with Tennessee, and Tennessee's an upcoming team, and they got a lot of different weapons as well, and if they're able to work them in better, great. And I think that'll be great. I always like Randy Moss, other than that off the field attitude shit, and where you don't get the best player because he is talented, and I like to see that shit. So that's fine. If he ain't willing to do that, that's on him. A lot of guys like that, Most of them play for Cincinnati, but that's cool. The other thing is, I hate Brett Favre. Sorry, I think he's completely inaccurate. I think he's selfish. He'll douche that team over as many times as he wants to, as long as his career is existing in his mind. And of course, he's a legend. Of course, he is one of the top 10, 15 quarterbacks of all time. And I'm just throwing a high number out there just because I don't even know where to place him. I don't like him personally, so I'm not even going there. But he's, got an incredible resume. He has, played that Cal Ripken of football for quite some time.
Hall of Fame, future Hall of Famer, what I'm saying?
Oh, of course he is. But that being said, I think he's a complete douchebag. I think he needs to go back home to his 460 acres, and that's fucking accurate. He lives on 460 acres. Like, seriously, take that shit back there, go hang out there, do what you want to do with the rest of your life, and leave football. He's throwing puck
picks
all.
But he's not
going
to listen to that. He's not going to listen
yeah,
to that.
It doesn't matter. Well, he's getting his ass
bust.
Oh, he's going to listen to it now because he's getting his ass bust, He's throwing picks all over the field. He had a good year last year, so he should have went out on a good year. Fuck it.
Right.
This year, he's back on his ass. He just got his chin bust open last week. And, he's throwing picks all over the fucking field. I can't say that enough because how accurate is this dude this year? Look at his fucking rating. You know what I mean? Like,
terrible.
Yeah. He's not the Brett Favre. He has, like, on and off game, and it's, like, year to year. It's not, like, really game to game. He might pull off of crazy shit sometime during the season, but most of the season is already in the trash for him. But I always liked Tabarris Jackson, and I think if he learned a lot, under Favre, which I think he probably has, he was actually bringing them back last game when Favre went out with a busted face. And, I think Tabarris Jackson – can definitely fit right into that system and do really well. He was there before Favre was. So
Right.
And it's got to put a scare in your heart to know that, hey, man, you ain't got a starting job anymore. There's a legend in your fucking spot right now. As long as he wants to be here, you're beat. You get that another chance, and this dude, he's probably going to spark up quite a bit. Don't be surprised when he you know, busts out big numbers this week, you know, against Arizona. So I think they can cover that 8.5 point spread and take a Minnesota over Arizona.
I'm taking Arizona.
All right. Next game. I have nearly as much to say about that, but it's the New York Giants at the Seattle Seahawks with the Giants favored by 5.5 points.
I'm going to go with the Giants.
The Giants?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Giants as well. It's another one of those, I like to say, I'm going with the Giants and I don't know why.
Well, Hasselbeck's out for this week for Seattle. You know, their starting quarterback's out. So.
Yeah, well, they're another up-and-down team. I mean, they beat the shit out of our team early season, and then just they've done different up things. They've done different down things. It's just definitely a quarterback
out. Last week.
Yeah, well, Oakland is fucking – and that's a good segue because the next game is Kansas City at Oakland. Oakland's favored by 2.5, and they've been putting some fucking points up. I got to go with Oakland, man. KC's a badass team, too. I believe that's a division game, too, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a game to watch, man. They're gonna fuck each other up. I'm going to go with Oakland. But, yeah.
And I'm going to vote the same. I'm going to go with Oakland as well.
Yeah, it's going to be pretty fucking crazy. Bang out. I mean, there might be injuries in that game. But
by the way, I don't know if you know this, but Jamarcus Russell earlier this week, former quarterback of the Raiders, Jamarcus Russell, got a tryout with the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, and I heard he gained like 100 pounds of fat.
That motherfucker, he sucks. Sucks balls.
I heard he gained like stupid weight. Like there was commentators like on TV where they don't really get too like brutal on people. I don't know if Jamarcus fucked his wife or what the fuck happened. Because this dude was like, he was you know, drafted as early as he was drafted. He has never showed up. Oakland put him on and off the bench more times, and he held out, and then he did this and that. And then he packed on like 80 pounds of fat, and, you know, all I see him doing is eating and throwing interceptions and dropping a ball on the field, and he's just garbage. I'm like, wow, this. Oh shit! I didn't know all of that, but I didn't know where the anger came from. I was just like, oh shit! So when you brought that up, this is the first thing I thought of. I wish I remember who said it, because that was some funny shit. He was bugging out. But the next game we got the Indianapolis Colts at your Philadelphia Eagles. Philadelphia Eagles are favored by 2.5 points for some ungodly reason.
Oh, this is a fucking home. But what's up with the fucking Eagles in this one?
The fucking Eagles. Well, I'm going to say fuck the Eagles and go with Indianapolis.
Go fucking figure. Yeah, go figure.
You're damn right. Well,
next
it's a positive
guest,
for me on my side of things.
Next week's guest does not want to hear that. Next week's guest does not want to hear that.
That's okay. He's a good guy. But, you know, my thing is, you know, I joke on the Eagles, but I joke on my Niners just enough for their horrible performances. So
right.
The thing I will say about the Niners this week is I am promised 2 weeks in a row without disappointment because they got a bye week this week and they won last week. So that's 2 weeks that I don't have to be fucking mad at my own damn team. So I'll ride that wave until they come back. But, you know. So next game we got, oh, man, another one. Another team I'm not a fan of. And couldn't be happier that they ain't doing too well. The Dallas Cowboys. Man, oh, man. The broken up Dallas Cowboys playing the Green Bay Packers. Packers are favored by 7.5 at home, the frozen tundra. And it's probably starting to get cold out here, ain't it?
Yeah. And I'm only in PA. I'm not even in Green Bay. I'm not even in Wisconsin.
Ah, that's what I'm saying. In Green Bay. No Tony Romo. I don't even know
Tony
if they got
Homo?
John Kitten
Tony
anymore.
Homo? You said Tony Homo?
I said he's sitting home. Oh.
Homo. He's Tony Homo, not Tony Romo.
Right, right.
Tony Homo.
Gotcha. Yeah. He's sitting home. Oh, that's right. So, you know, I don't know, man. I just I can't see Dallas doing anything in Green Bay.
I'm going to go with Dallas.
You're going to go with Dallas.
I don't. Green Bay didn't impress me last week. They scored 9 freaking points.
Yeah, they did.
And they still won. But they still won. You know?
Yeah. Dallas, I'm definitely going with Green Bay. The last game we got the Pittsburgh Steelers at Sammy Callahan's.
Oh, boy.
At Sammy Callahan's Cincinnati Bengals, who's another team that we just can't make it happen, man. It's so hard. Is it my pick or your pick?
Yeah, it's your pick. What's the point spread? You didn't give me the point spread.
Pittsburgh is favored by 4.5 points.
Go ahead, J-Cap.
Well, again, I'm going against Cincinnati and New Orleans unless anything tells me differently before the end of the season. I don't plan on betting any differently. So I got to go with Pittsburgh to beat Cincinnati.
I'm going with Sammy Callahan. I'm going with Pittsburgh. Cincinnati, I mean. But
right.
I'm for Cincinnati.
Well,
hopefully he gets to see a victory.
Well, I wish him luck. I hope it's not by 4.5. You know?
Maybe it's
or
not,
no, they win. Yeah, I hear you. Pittsburgh's got the
3 touchdowns.
But,
4 touchdowns. 5 touchdowns. Hopefully it's 6 touchdowns.
I'd love to make Sammy happy, so if I got to take a loss on that game, I'm happy for him, but I'm going with Pittsburgh. You know, we did touch on them Bengals a little bit, and that'll definitely be coming up in a minute on that interview. Hopefully I'll have a little better a week, but, hey, I can't argue with 8 wins. We went 8 wins to 8 wins, and it's not a bad number for me to put up, you know, not terrible, and next week, I hope to at least put up 8 wins.
Yeah, maybe I can put up 8 wins as well.
Yeah, well, I'd like it to be a little lopsided. You know, I get like, I don't know how many I could win this.
Maybe we tie
games.
Every week. I'd be happy if we tied every week.
Yeah, that would get annoying. I like to win.
You'd be at best. You'd be that best. You'd be like, yeah, we tied again. We tied again.
Nah,
yeah.
I'd like to win. So, yeah, man, I guess we could probably just go into the interview right now.
And then
we'll be back with the outro after the interview. We'll talk to you guys then for a minute. All right.
This interview was
everybody
recorded
enjoy.
On Tuesday night. And go ahead and play that.
Everybody enjoy. I'd like to welcome to the show at this time one of the fastest rising stars in the independents, as well as the New Jersey All-Pro Tag Team Champion, one half of the New Horror, Sammy Callahan. What's going on, Sammy?
Yo, what's going on, guys? How you guys been?
Doing all right. Want to bring you on the show tonight. Get some, stories, your background and everything out there. Figure we'll start out, get the basics out there, just, give everybody a little bit of background on Sammy Callahan. So when did you come up?
I was always a big fan of professional wrestling, but everything it really came to pass in 2006 when I first started training with Shark Boy, and then everything just skyrocketed from there.
All right. So you trained with Shark Boy? Is that who trained you?
Yeah, when I first started training, I took, like, a beginner class called the Shark Tank, which is, like, an excellent program in the Midwest that's hosted by Shark Boy. that gets the beginnings of the business, and it's a good intro into the business. I did that, and then as soon as I was done, I enrolled in the Heartland Wrestling Association Wrestling Academy and trained with Cody Hawk and Les Thatcher. And that's where I met people like John Moxley and Nigel McGuinness and all those guys who I got to work with at the very beginning of my career. And that was a very pivotal point that really helped me become the wrestler I am today.
Yeah. From what I've heard, and I've seen a few pictures, you were a much, much bigger guy back then.
Oh, dude, my biggest was 330 pounds. Like, funny, we're talking about that right now because I'm actually at the gym sitting on the bike right now doing this interview because I got to work off a couple pounds I gained over the weekend.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, that transformation is really, really impressive.
Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, I'm sure it took a whole shitload of work. I don't even know what you did, but you should be.
Well, dude, man, like, it was about a year and a half that it took me to lose all my weight. Like I said, at my biggest, I was around 330, 350, and now I'm at like 185, 190. So a little over 100 pounds I lost in a matter since I started cutting weight in early 07.
That's incredible. That's really incredible. I wish I could lose that weight. I wish I could lose that much weight.
What were, some of the inspirations you had, coming up and, the guys that really, made you want to go, through and do it as thorough as you have?
Well, when I was younger, everyone else was, big fans of, Hulk Hogan and, the Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels. I was a huge Undertaker fan. Ever since I was little, I remember he was always one of my favorites. And when I started getting a little bit older and started actually understanding wrestling, I, really got into, more brutal wrestlers. Like Vader and like Stan Hansen, and from there, that's where my passion for wrestling grew.
Yeah. Once you actually got closer to the scene where you were actually deciding to train and everything like that, were you a fan of the indies, and did you see guys on the indies that you were looking up to at the time too, or?
Absolutely, man. Like I was a huge fan of the indies. I remember back, my junior year of high school. Me and a bunch of my buddies drove all the way, past Chicago to go see the Revolution Strong Style tournament when Samoa Joe ended up wrestling D-Boy in the finals. And then, to actually be on, shows with these guys now, it's kind of surreal. But, it feels like this is what I've, been meant to do since I was little. There's, little signs.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll jump around a little bit, but, seeing as, there was a dream match in my, in my mind, as soon as it was announced, they announced that four-way, the winner was going to face Homicide. I'm jumping up and down like a schoolgirl, Sammy better win. I gotta see this shit. So how did it feel to get in the ring with Homicide?
Well, dude, Homicide was a guy that I looked up to, from the time I was in middle school, when I first started following indie wrestling. And when CZW told me, hey, man, you're going to be wrestling Homicide next month. I was like, really? I was like that's going to be all. I felt this, feeling like this is a match that I want more than anything right now because I want to see where I match up against guys that, I really looked up to, when I first got into the business.
Yeah. And from what I understand, you're going to have another one of those coming up with the Hit Squad.
Yeah, me and Dickhead Chris Dickinson, we're going to be taking on the Hit Squad the first day of the anniversary show. That's kind of a big deal to, both me and Dickinson. For the Hit Squad to come out of retirement to face me and him because we run our mouths and because we hit people too hard, I don't know. That kind of gives me a chip on my shoulder. I can't wait to go in there and be, one of the first teams to actually wrestle the Hit Squad now that they're back.
Yeah. Now, you had said that, you met Moxley way back, so, I'm guessing that's, part of how, the Switchblade was formed. How did it come about to form the United States Death Machine?
Well, it's kind of funny. Me and Dickinson, actually, when we first started meeting each other last year, we actually hated each other. We both thought each other had attitudes or egos or whatever. We kind of just stayed away from each other at shows. And then one day we randomly ended up having a conversation. And Fat Frank was like, you know what, I'm going to book you guys next month. We're like, okay. And, we were going in there, and we had a great match, and, we had a friendship out of it. And ever since then, we kind of, saw things eye to eye. And from there, like, Jersey All-Pro Management asked us what we want, and we were like, I think me and you as a tag team would be pretty awesome in Jersey All-Pro right now, because there's no one here that I think can match our intensity, because we're the two craziest dudes here.
Yeah. What would you say the difference is, you know, from tagging with Moxley to tagging with Dickinson?
It's completely two different ends of the spectrum. You got Dickinson, who's a complete nut, and one minute he may be looking at me, and the next minute he may be screaming at me. And Moxley, he's a little more calm, he's a little more laid back, he's a little more mellow, and, like, he'll control the pacing of a match. So going in there with Dickinson, I might have to get ready to go through a full-blown sprint and go through a full battle. When Moxley's in there, we're able to slow down the pace a little bit more and actually control the tempo of things.
Right. So Moxley's a lot more scientific about.
Yeah, absolutely. He thinks like two or three moves ahead. When Dickinson's just like a shotgun, just going out there like every blow, just giving everything he got.
Right. Well, last year, you know, the only criticism I had heard about you in the past, which I never really agreed with, you know, because I guess, you know, some of these guys, these fans, they just want something to call negative about somebody. And, you know, everybody had out of their mouth, well, Sammy doesn't bump. And, again, I didn't agree with it at all. The moment that I think everybody had to shut their fucking mouth and watch what was going on, I think, was Cage of Death last year. Man, what was that?
Exactly. A lot of people want to say, oh, what, Sammy didn't want to bump, Sammy didn't want to do that. That's exactly what I wanted people to think. Like, I was one of the most hated people in all the CZW going in Cage of Death for the simple fact that no one had been able to do to me what everyone wanted to see. Everyone wanted to see me get my ass beat for an entire year I eluded it until Cage of Death. And what happened at Cage of Death? I got what was coming to me. And what did the crowd do? They went fucking nuts, because that's how something's supposed to be built. That's how a story's supposed to be told.
Yeah. I mean, that match was unbelievable.
All the people that wanted to talk crap, they worked right into what I wanted them to.
Right. Yeah, I mean, did that match scare the shit out of you at any point? Because, I mean, that was a lot of glass and heights, and
well,
the spots were
I'm afraid of heights, and I'm one of the first ones to say, I love watching hardcore wrestling, but I'm not the biggest fan of doing it. Like, that stuff really hurts. It takes a special person to be able to do that on a normal basis. When we went into it, like, I realized I can't go half-assed into this. Like, this has to be, I got to go into this match like it's my last match ever. Because we don't, like, go in there and, like, capitalize and we don't go in there and deliver. We're both getting a lot of heat. Like, that's a big point and a big spot to be on a show when they're like, okay, we've had giant clusterfuck Cage of Death for the last 6 years. We're going to put you two in there as a single Cage of Death. And if you guys don't deliver, you guys are both fucked. That's pretty much what it felt like.
Right. The one spot, you guys, I don't remember exactly what the move was going down, but you guys came off that scaffold. The pane of glass fell without breaking and pretty much came down with you guys. I watched that. My heart was in my throat. Like, man, if these guys catch that glass, it's going to cut one of them in half. Did you see that at all, like, as it was going on, or?
Well, actually, I remember as I fell, like, the pain didn't break. It just kind of shifted to the side, and it caused, like, me and Danny to, like, go straight, like, a downward. I ended up being, like, almost completely upside down because I had to yank on Danny's head to make sure we didn't both go head first into the table. And as soon as I hit, like, the pane of glass was, like, 2 feet from me where I fell. And I remember it hit, and then I hit, and it hit. And I remember just feeling this sigh of relief because, like, the whole time I thought, while I was in the air, it felt like I was falling for, like, 40 minutes because I could see that entire pane of glass coming down. And I swear I thought I was going to either cut off my hand or cut off a piece of my body or take a chunk out of my head. So as soon as we hit and I realized it didn't hit me, I just kind of grabbed the back of my head and I just banked at my fucking lucky stars that I was still alive.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that was a scary match, man. It was a great performance by, you know, both of you guys. You definitely silenced the critics. And, you know, even after that, I mean, you went on, or no, what? No, I think it was before that that you had the Tournament of Death that you were in, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you fought Thumbtack Jack in that. What was that
like?
Yeah,
I fought Danny in the first round, and Thumbtack Jack is by far the hardest hitting, hard headed emo kid I've ever met in my entire life. He hits probably the hardest that I've been hit, like, and it's not like it's like one will be hard and the next one will be hard. Every single strike he throws at you is hard. So when you go in there, you got to be ready to be in a battle with Jack. Like, that's why he's got his reputation as quick as he did. Like, he may not look like much, but he's got his reputation for fucking people up and going crazy. Like, that's the reason why he was a deathmatch icon in the United States in a year.
Yeah. I mean, I thought that match was really cool. It was a really good blend of styles and, you know, your characters together. I thought it was great. The one spot I thought was fucking fantastic is when you guys both went into the casket and then both popped up with your weapon of choice and, you know, locked up. I thought that shit was cool as hell.
Thank you, man.
Who came up with that?
I honestly don't even remember. Like, that was one of those days where, like, I don't know how you really go into a day like that. You go into a day like that, and I'm like, I'm about to get cut up, bleed, and quite possibly get dropped on my head quite a few times. Like, I just remembering that day, it's all blurred for me, because, like, I really don't even realize what went on, because I was so much out of my mind, going crazy. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna die. And, like, my nerve is getting to me, that, like, that's all I really worried about.
Yeah. Now, obviously, you know, going through these things as we've gone over, you know, the Cage of Death, the Tournament of Death, I mean, you've obviously silenced critics and proven that you can do it. Now, are any of these things or any other things you've done in your career thus far or some shit you will never do again?
Well, first of all, I'd never say never. But, like, I'm kind of trying to get out of the deathmatch scene, man. I've only done two hardcore matches this year, and I want to really prove that I'm one of the best wrestlers in the country right now, if not soon to be one of the best wrestlers in the world, because I feel like right now I can go in there and I can compete with any wrestler out there, and it doesn't matter if it's a hardcore match, it doesn't matter if it's a normal match. I'm one of those guys like Drake Younger, John Moxley, we're all hybrid wrestlers. We can go out there and have any style of match at any time, at any given night.
Right. Yeah, I understand that completely. I mean, you know, a guy with your talent definitely doesn't belong, you know, in every year's Tournament of Death, just murdering himself for no reason, but...
Well, I wouldn't even put it that way. Like, I put it away that, like, that chapter of my career is closed, and I did what I wanted to do, and now there's something else I want to accomplish. And being in crazy death matches all the time just is a part of my plan right now.
Right. No, I understand that completely. You know, what are some of your goals? Because, I mean, we talk a lot on this show, and, you know, we talk about who should make it, who should be in this company, who should be in that company, and your name's coming out of our mouths nonstop. What are your actual goals?
Well, like, everyone, like, anyone that's on in wrestling, like, their all-time goal should be to be in WWE and be the guy. To be the guy to be in WrestleMania, to be the guy that's action figures and video games and the guy that's putting pro wrestling on the map. Like, that's everyone's dream. But if I actually look at it, like, on a normal basis, I want to be a guy that goes over to Japan and makes a reputation for being one of, like, the American guys like Stan Hansen was, American guys like Vader was, that when they go over to Japan, they have that reputation of being this ruthless monster. Like, that's what I want. I want to be the American that goes back over to Japan. People's like, that guy's nuts. That guy's out of his mind.
Yeah.
That guy, there's something wrong with him. That's what I want in professional wrestling.
Yeah, I expect that you'll fulfill all of that. You keep yourself healthy, and I think your destiny's in your hands, man. You got some serious, serious talent over there. Are there any dream matches that you have that, you know, other guys? I mean, obviously, you got in the ring with Homicide.
I want to wrestle Samoa Joe, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't want to wrestle, like, a Samoa Joe that, like, really can't do much because of either A, injury, or B, because TNA's holding him back from stuff. I want to wrestle the Samoa Joe that was killing people on the indies 5, 6, 7 years ago. Like, some of my dream matches are to go toe-to-toe with some of the hard-hitting guys from a couple years ago that really doesn't do that style anymore, because I want to see where I compete with those guys, where I, like, match up with them. So, like, anytime I get a chance to get in the ring with someone like that, like, that's going to be, like, a dream right now. And, like, but, like,
yeah.
my all-time, like, favorite dream match, if I could pick anyone in history, would be a Vader. Like, if I could wrestle Vader in his prime, like, I would go nuts, because there's so much and so many endless possibilities that you could do with someone that big.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I hear you with the, you know, you're trying to get, you know, the best of these guys. I mean, every time you seem to, you know, get one of these, in, you know, in front of you, I hear you yelling at him, get angry, and, you know, on the Jersey All-Pro thing the other night. And, you know, I could tell you definitely want the best out of these guys. You want it the way you've seen them, you know, when they actually brought interest, you know, and that. I can see that. I don't know if Joe has that right now. He might have it in his pocket, and he's just, you know, holding on to it. But
you don't lose something like that. That's something you don't lose. But wrestling is like riding a bike. You know, if you've had that killer instinct once before, you're gonna have it again.
Yeah. It's just a shame seeing Joe in the role he is. Hopefully, he's making some money, and then, you know, I'm still happy for him. But I miss that old Samoa Joe that was crushing people in Ring of Honor. When you first started to make an impact in CCW, soon after they gave you the Iron Man title, which you quickly rebranded as the new horror title. You know, how did that whole thing come about?
It was honestly just something where I felt like that was a title that in CCW like really hadn't been utilized, and I wanted to bring it back up to its like former like glory. Like the Iron Man title used to be the belt that was held by the best guy in CCW. Like the heavyweight title is always the belt that's like, yeah, everyone wants to be the heavyweight champion, but it's kind of like the Iron Man title was a title that you're like, okay, any match that this guy's in, I know it's going to be nuts. It's going to be one of the best matches on the card because I know this guy is going to work, and this guy, he's going to deliver with the crowd. That's what I wanted to do with that belt. So I'm like, what do I have to do? Like, I can completely change it up. And I wanted to try to make it mean something completely different.
Yeah. Were you upset when they retired the belt?
I mean, like, sure, it was sad that, like, the Iron Man title was gone from CZW, but it was something that needed to be done to, like, usher in the new era of CZW and what CZW is becoming. Like, CZW isn't the same thing it used to be. It's a slow work in progress. It's something that we're building towards in the very near future.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you got to, in that same era, you got to wrestle with Fisto, and I got to tell you, man, like, I know, like, from what she said over time, you know, in interviews and every, you know, part of her career, she always wanted to be treated like one of the boys, and I don't know if I've seen another guy treat her like one of the boys more so than you did. I mean,
I'm going to go in there, and, like, I'm not going to treat someone anyone differently, especially someone like Lufisto. Lufisto is one of the best women's wrestlers, like, of this era, and, like, and she wanted to go in there, she didn't want to be, like, treated differently, so why am I going to be the guy to go in there and treat her differently? I'm a wrestler just like I wrestle everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the first things that raised my eyebrows, because, I mean, that showed dedication to your character, where you weren't going to lighten up with them, you know, depending on who was in the ring, you were going to go out there and just run game, you know.
You can't. If you get a reputation doing one thing, that's what you got to do. I'm not going to change who I am.
Yeah. That's definitely the right way to go. Lufisto's
awesome. Like, she definitely gave it right back to me.
Oh, yeah. She is tremendous talent. She really is. And I think, you know, guys like you that actually put her on the same level as yourself and other, you know, other workers are what makes her as good as she is. Because if no one gave her that benefit of the doubt, she would just, you know, she wouldn't live up to the, you know, the highest standards that she's, you know, put herself out as.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Now, we had talked about TJ before, and obviously, you know, I'm sure you heard, like everybody else, that, you know, he had to retire due to the injury he suffered with Masada. You know, what's your feelings on that?
It's absolutely horrible. When I heard the news about what happened to Thumbtack Jack, like I felt this like horrible like sickness in the pit of my stomach because I realized, like, sure, like Jack's one of my friends, and like that's awful that happened to him. But that could happen to anybody. That could happen to me. That could happen to anyone else that steps into that ring. That's a very scary situation. That's nothing I would ever want anyone to go through. Like, I still, like, when I think about that, that's, like, terrifying. Like, I could not, like, and for Jack even, like, trying to finish the match after he was initially hurt from that is simply amazing and puts in the fact of how tough that guy really is.
Yeah. I mean, my initial thoughts, though, you know, and he's a tremendous performer, but, you know, something that makes him one of the craziest guys, I kind of wondered if, you know, when he decided to shy away and say, hey, you know, I'm done with deathmatch wrestling, if it would have been better for his life if he just walked away from wrestling at that point, as hard as it might have been.
I mean, like, sure, it may look like that right now, but, like, who are we to say this wouldn't have happened, like, if he would have just been, like, randomly in the gym, like, on the treadmill? Like, this is something that's an act of faith that could have happened at any given time. It doesn't matter where he is. And, like, pro wrestling, like, we do this because, like, it's not because we're making the greatest amount of money right now. It's not because, like, we're getting a lot of fame off of it right now. Like, we're all building to that. We're all building towards bigger and better things. But the reason we all get into wrestling is because we love it. And for anyone to not be able to do what they love is absolutely sad.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. It's just, you know, he's got that next level of he pushed the limits. He pushed the limits. So even if you stop death matches, you're taking power bombs on a concrete floor, you know,
you
within
a year. It's kind of like in Final Destination. You can only run from death for so long until it catches up with you.
Yeah. You know, and turn the page, and you're going to Germany, and you got in front of you Masada. How do you think that's going to go?
It's going to go exactly how I expect it's going to go. We're both going to go in there, and I guarantee we're going to get face-to-face, and it's going to turn into a slugfest. Because that's what I want, and I guarantee that's what he wants. And when we've never wrestled before, and is like when we step into that building, like that's going to be Masada's first match back in Germany since he hurt Jack. And this is going to be my first match back in Germany since last year. And so it's going to be a big deal. And, like, when we're finally face-to-face, like, I'm feeling like things are going to get emotional, things are going to get rough. Like, and I can't wait for it. Like, it's a match that I've been looking forward to since they've given it to me.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great match. It's one of those, like, you know, a guy like you, you know, has to shit that's signed. If it hasn't happened yet, I'm fucking not going to see it. You know, there's so many guys in the business that I just love to see you in working with, and I mean, that's another one of them. I mean, there's just tremendous.
Masada's definitely one of those guys that I want to go toe to toe with. He's if not the hardest hitting guy in the United States right now. Like, you can't, like, turn down, like, how hard he hits people, and you can't turn down how good of a wrestler he is. Just because, like, he may not have a big name in the United States right now, he's been in Japan for a while, like, he's back now, and he's hungry to, like, make an impression. So, like, I know he's going to be motivated, and I know it's going to be a barn burner.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tremendous. I really do. Yeah, I mean, there's so many guys. Have you worked, El Generico yet?
I've worked him in a tag match, but I'm not working him in a singles match yet. I'd love to, though.
Yeah, that seems like one of those. I think even though somewhat of a styles clash, I think that would go really, really well. Just so many different matches out there that I think could really come together to be something. Like you said, Japan, man, with Jersey All-Pro working with New Japan and CZW working with Big Japan. I mean, those guys are going to be coming in left and right. You know, who are some of the guys that you hope to be able to get into ring from those companies?
Anyone. Like, I've wrestled Sakimoto two times in tag matches, and, like, he's a guy that I want to wrestle in a singles match. Like, he's another guy that's one of those hard-hitting, like, wrestlers, like, that's known for, like, how, like, aggressive he is and how, like, strong he is. And he's a guy I want to go in there toe-to-toe with and see what goes on, see what happens.
Yeah, now with, you know, best of the best happening next year, and,
I'm sorry, I'm in the gym, that was somebody else.
That's okay. Now, with Best of the Best happening next year, and, you know, they're going to involve Sakimoto, they're going to involve a lot of these, you know, hugely talented guys. Are you going to be in Best of the Best?
That's something that's going to be on the hands of CZW management. That's something I don't know of right now. That's something I want. I was in the finals of the list, Best of the Best, so I feel like I deserve, like, a position in the next one. Like, from being a finalist, like, I think I should be one of the guys that gets one of the spots, like, from the get-go.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, and if they are listening, I would hope that they definitely put you in that Best of the Best, because if they are looking for the best in the world, I think, you know, on the home front, it's definitely one of the best we got, so, if not the best.
Thank you.
Not a problem. Eric, do you got any questions?
I've been doing some research and looking up some stuff, and
okay.
I saw that Sammy wrestled on two occasions a guy who I think really never got his due on the on the main stage. Well, he got to the main stage, but he never got his big big break. He got a joke character, Flash Funk. But you worked with Too Cold Scorpio, I believe, twice. What was that like working with Too Cold?
It made me the wrestler I am today. Like, those matches were two matches that, like, I honestly learned, like, so much from. Like, being in the ring with a guy that has that much knowledge and has done that much in his career, like, just, first of all, just being able to be in the locker with him is a pleasure. Being able to work with him on two separate occasions was awesome. Like, and he has the honor of being the guy that hit me the hardest I've ever been hit in my entire life. At TPI in the semifinals, he kicked me so hard in the face, it physically dropped me down to my knees, and, like, I did not know where I was. Like, honestly, and I looked at him, and I went, I don't know where I am. Like, and for a guy, like, I honestly don't even know how old Scorpio is right now, but for how old he is, that dude can fucking go, and he can hit fucking hard as shit. Like, he's just as good now as he was 10 years ago.
I agree. I totally agree.
Yeah, I would imagine Scorp's probably in his 40s. I would imagine.
But definitely a guy that never got the recognition he deserved in the wrestling business.
You did damn right. Let me throw this out there. What's up with your fucking Bengals, bro?
Oh, my gosh, dude. Like, it's like I get really angry. Like, it gets to the point where I just want to throw things. Like, what's going on? Like, I just don't understand it. And, like, what makes me even madder is, since I'm on the East Coast, I really can't watch a lot of Bengals games. So I end up, like, finding live streams that, like, cut out, like, during the middle of the game. Or, like, I end up getting on Bengals.com and, like, watching, like, the highlights as they happen. And, like, you just see me, like, throwing stuff across the room, like, screaming at my computer. Like, it's not even like I'm watching the real game and I'm, like, that much upset. Like, I feel like if I was watching them, like, something different could happen. I feel like if I was watching, they'd be winning. It's all my fault. You got to find a way to watch a good stream of the Bengals game, man.
I mean, do you think it's, the clash of the egos, or there's too many, too many big talents in there? I think we
need a new coach, man. I think we need a change. I think we need someone that's going to be able to come in there and, like, get, like, Marvin Lewis was good to, like, make the Bengals, like, a moderately good team. He brought them out from being, like, the absolute shit to making them, like, a decent team. And now we need another coach to come in and make them from a decent team to be an amazing team.
Yeah. I mean, I joked the other day when they waved Randy Moss, and I said, hey, man, maybe Cincy needs another ego on their team right now. So.
Oh, I would love for Randy Moss to be there. Like, the more, like, amazing running backs that we have with egos, like the more I can – if the Bengals are losing, at least they're going to be entertaining as shit.
Hey, yeah, but can you imagine it actually working out? I mean, Randy Moss, Terrell Owens, and Ocho Cinco.
It'd be an amazing reality show.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't understand what's going on. I can't bet on them no more. I can tell you that much.
But quick thing, I only have one bar of life left, so if we could wrap that up, that'd be awesome. I don't want to get disconnected
like
we always do.
Well, definitely before we let you go, I got to get a Sammy Callahan new horror promo for Yakuza Kick Radio, if you can.
Okay, that's fine. So I'll do that right now. Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen. Man, that worked good enough for you guys?
That's awesome, bro. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem, guys.
No problem. You got any last questions before we let him go, Eric?
No, I'm all good.
All right, yeah. I mean, thank you so much for coming on, Sammy. I wish you luck in everything you got coming up. Is there anything you want to plug before you get off?
CZW, we're coming to Germany this weekend to the house down, and we'll be back at the arena the second Saturday of every month. Check out Evolve, check out Dragon Gate, Jersey All Pro, American Lucha Corps, Force One, check it all out. Hit me up on Facebook. It doesn't matter. Listen to Yakuza Kick Radio. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, absolutely. This dude is working everywhere, so chances are you go to a show, you're going to be on it. Support the indies.
Definitely. Indie wrestling. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. All right, Sammy. On that note, we'll let you go. Again, thank you so much for the interview, and it was a great time, and we'll be talking to you, bro.
No problem. Any guys, hit me up. Peace.
All right.
And
all right,
with that, you did it.
Yep.
Okay.
And we're back. I thought that was a great interview. What you think, Eric?
It was good. Good. There was parts of the interview where I wanted to start talking, and then I was like, "Yeah, I can't talk to myself." You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
You're like in the interview. Anything else, Eric? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, shit, like, I got to get my shit ready. I'm like, wait, fuck. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's a pre-record. yeah, I thought it was a great interview. Again, you know, thank you to Sammy and my condolences, you know, for what you're going through this week, man. I'm definitely with you, man, and I'm sure a whole lot of other people are, and definitely reach out to the man because, you know, he's unbelievable.
Too, by the way. We got some shout-outs to do. Yep, we got some fan shout-outs.
Okay.
A long-time fan of, you know, CZW, Bill, is actually listening.
Okay,
you know Bill.
Yeah.
You definitely know who
yeah.
Bill is.
Bill Palmiello?
Yeah,
Palmiero.
He's listening.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
He's
yeah,
checking us
man.
Out.
He's cool as fuck.
Yeah, man. We also got to give a quick shout-out to, the Golden, Yakuza Kick Radio's, the person that does all the work for the writing of the show, Nina, you know, she helps out a lot.
Yeah, she does all the promoting. She does all the promoting and, you know, the, advertising. So, one thing I definitely want to plug for sure, give all y'all a heads up, next week you got over a 2-hour interview that we did with Sabian, the Black G's, man. We wild the fuck out, man. And you want to hear some serious shit, you check us next week for that interview and what we normally do, and you will not be let down. You think the bull interview went long? You think that bullpen interview went long? This shit went longer. And let me tell you, man, this is how we do. We get in, man. I'm telling you, this is a quite entertaining. We hit all sorts of topics. And I think everybody will enjoy. And, you know, if no matter how you feel about Sabian, you need to check this interview out one way or another, because let me tell you something, you're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn a lot. Might remind you of a few things, and you're going to learn a lot in that interview. And I think it's going to be off the hook, man. Everybody need to check that shit out next week for sure.
Hey, guess what?
What's that?
I bought my tickets for KG Death. How about that?
All right. Well, you know, I'm a mainstay. My shit is reserved. And
reserved.
I'm there. Front row. Yeah.
8-4.
I mean, so unless you got anything else to say.
We'll cut out for the next couple weeks. Hopefully everything
goes
well.
Oh, yeah, man. If everything goes the way we want it in this next coming week, not only will we have Sabian for you guys on Thursday in an over 2-hour interview, we will have already recorded the rest of November. So you guys tune in and you guys keep online and keep checking what we're doing, because I'm telling you, our plans are ridiculous. And as soon as all this shit lines up, and it's falling into place quite nicely right now, you guys are going to be quite impressive, and I think it's a good listen. You know, it's I'm a perfectionist, man. So if I think it came off well, it probably went pretty well. And you know, we got some definite shit coming up. We're booking nothing but the highest, finest talent in the land, as far as I'm concerned. And you're gonna hear some good shit coming up. So keep checking us out.
Yep.
Anything else, Eric?
No, you want to put the outro?
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely check us out next week. We'll be posting what time it is. We might have to start a little earlier because Sabian's hour, his interview is over 2 hours. And just keep on our Facebook page. Check us the fuck out next Thursday. For Eric Williams, I'm J. Cat Morris. Peace.